Jim Lowe, otherwise known as If It's Saturday Night, It Must Be Him. And Here's the World at your dialing fingertips. And it all begins with music. This is Hardly News. Jack Jones has a new girl on his mind.
Mama, do you see what I see? On your knees and pray for me. Matilda's come back to me. Charlie don't want another beer. Tonight I'm gonna drink my tears. Matilda's come back to me. So ask the maid if she heard what I said, to tell her to change the sheets on the bed. Matilda's come back to me. My friends, don't leave me tonight. Tonight I'm going back to fight. Wretched Matilda's in sight. My heart, stopped beating so. Just make as if you didn't know that Matilda's come back to me. My heart, I don't want you to say she's lovelier than when she went away. My Matilda, who's come back to me? My heart stopped being overjoyed. Remember, you were once destroyed. My Matilda, who's come back to me? My friends, please don't go away and tell me that I mustn't stay. My Matilda's coming back today. Woo-wee! My hands will start to shake again when you remember all the pain. Matilda's come back to me. Wanna be the black and blue, but don't you do it, I beg of you, Matilda, who's come back to me. My hands remember all the years, remember when you caught my tears, Matilda's come back to me. My hands, you wanna touch her now, but please try to be strong somehow. Matilda's here, she's coming now. Mama, can you hear me? Yeah, your baby boy's gone back. Matilda's come back to me. Charlie, champagne right away. I know you've been saving it for the holiday, but Matilda's come back to me. Go ask the mate, she heard what I said. Tell her to put the sheets on the bed. Matilda's come back to me. My friends, don't count on me no more. I've gone and crashed through heaven's door. Matilda's here. Once more.
Will the Sharon Tate murder dwindle away to become only one more of the unsolved cases that tabloid papers delight in running every 5 years or so? Here's an exclusive report to Monitor from a man who knows the scene and the people, Roy Neal, NBC News.
Sharon Tate and four other people were murdered brutally in Bel Air, California, on the 9th of August. Now, more than a month after the killings, Los Angeles police report they have talked to and investigated almost 400 people. They have no suspects, no murder weapons, no leads. This week, Los Angeles Chief of Police Edward Davis said he hoped for a break in the case in a day or two. But when I asked why he said that, a department spokesman said, "We're hopeful, but right now we're going on faith alone." Peter Sellers and some other friends of Miss Tate offered a $25,000 reward for information leading to the capture of the killer. The police say there has been surprisingly little reaction. There have been the usual number of what are labeled crackpot calls and letters, telling police they don't know their business, saying the crime was done by a wino, that sort of thing. But even the offer of $25,000 has failed to turn up any valid leads. Bel Air, the locale of the murders, is one of the most exclusive residential districts in the United States. For a few days after the crime, the people who live there lived in fear, the fear that they too might be attacked. A private police force, the Bel Air Patrol, received dozens of calls for extra protection. Now, the great human tendency to forget unpleasant things has set in. Anxiety has lessened as the shock wore off, And there's a good chance that Sharon Tate's murder case will soon be forgotten in Bel Air, unless there's a break or another equally bizarre killing. Roy Neal, NBC News, Los Angeles.
I think this is a case where comprehension is as important as apprehension. Perhaps if we can learn why these violent acts continue to happen more frequently these days, we may also learn how to prevent them. Remember Georgie Porgy, who made all the girls cry? Well, all he makes Janice Harper do is sing. Monitor name dropper quiz. One of the names in the news these days is that of the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland. But which one of these names? Bernard Devlin, Robert O'Sossman, Ian Paisley, James Chichester Clark, or Sean O'Phelan? The answer in a moment, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Commissioner Neal L. Moylan of the New York State Department of Commerce. The traveler who comes to New York from another state or another country and has a good time will go home and tell his friends about it. He becomes a visit New York State salesman for us in his own state or country. And he'll come back himself. That's nice, but what's the point, you might say? Well, the point is that travel is a more than $3 billion a year business in New York State. It provides many jobs and brings in a lot of dollars. It's an important part of the state's economy. The traveler who has gone home happy undoubtedly enjoyed our many and varied vacation land attractions, but he also enjoyed the people he met. Assisting a foreign or an American visitor to New York State can be richly enjoyable, can make new friends, and, not incidentally, can make the traveler feel welcome. A welcome visitor will someday be welcomed back. You can help New York State by being a helpful New Yorker.
WNBC Radio 660 and WNBC FM New York.
Jim Lowe here with the answer to the Monitor name dropper quiz. Which one of these names belongs to the in-the-news Prime Minister of Northern Ireland? Bernard Devlin, Robert O'Sossman, Ian Paisley, James Chichester Clark, or Sean O'Phelan? It's James Chichester Clark. If you were right, you get straight A's on your report card. And even if you weren't right, you get the straight A's singing Blue Moon.
Blue, you saw me standing alone. Thank you. somebody whisper, please adore me.
Monitor Sports. The Oklahoma State University football team this season has an assistant coach who can handle anything that comes along, unless it's bent, stapled, spindled, or mutilated. The assistant coach is a computer, which Oklahoma State will be using to analyze its opponent's strengths and weaknesses. A live assistant coach, John Young, told Guy LeBeau all about it on Monitor's Open Line.
Say, John Young, this whole idea of having a computer analyze offenses and defenses in football sounds almost weird. Now, in simple terms, if you can, if it's possible, how does the machine work?
Well, Guy, we take a particular play that we've seen an offense run and feed it into the computer, and it matches it with other similar plays and situations and gives us tendencies that the other team has, if any.
Now, if your team can only learn to play as well against the kind of information you get from the computer.
If we could set the computer in down on the goal line for a little additional weight, it sure would help.
Have you, on an occasion, taken a readout from the computer, given it to your team, and have its information work successfully in your behalf against an opposing team?
This is the first year that we've actually used the computer. It has been used in other places, but we have taken information and assembled on a punch card system, much like the computer does, but much faster, and got awful good results out of it.
Based upon your experiences right up to date, what are going to be the actual advantages of having a computer operate this way?
All it does, Guy, in our eyes, is takes the tabulation and the mechanical compiling of statistics out of the coach's hands, which is time-consuming, and does it by machine at a much more rapid time limit, and puts the coach into a analyst, having more time to analyze the information that comes out.
But, John Young, despite all of this, you're still going to need the horses to earn a winning record, won't you?
We've got to have the studs to win, and we hope that we can get them. We open against Arkansas the 20th in Little Rock, and they're picked in many polls the number one in the nation. And we'll have an awful tough time with them, we realize, and we hope that the information that we compile will help our boys at least know what they've had a tendency to do in the past.
Thank you very much, John Young, assistant coach football, Oklahoma State University at Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Thank you, Guy.
John Young on Monitor's Open Line. This is Guy LeBeau, Monitor Sports.
What did the Mets do today? They won. Details later, but first the American League. Baltimore has clinched the Eastern Division championship of the American, although they haven't played yet today. The Orioles won the crown because the Washington Senators knocked the Detroit Tigers out of contention by beating the Tigers 11-6. Ken McMullen knocked in 5 runs for the Senators with 4 hits, including a 3-run homer. The Boston Red Sox beat the New York Yankees 5-2. Reggie Smith of the Sox scored 2 runs and hit a triple in the 6th to drive in the tie-breaking run. In other games, Oakland 4, Chicago nothing in 10, and Kansas City 1, Minnesota nothing. In the National League, the New York Mets won their 10th straight by whipping Pittsburgh 5-2. Ron Swoboda hit the first Grand Slam homer of his big league career in the 8th inning to give Tom Seaver his 22nd victory. 3 years from now, they'll be yelling, "Break up the Mets." And Cincinnati beat San Francisco 6-4. More sports later on Monitor. He was always skinny, and now he's getting bald, but he says love's been good to him, and you better believe it.
I have been a rover. I have walked alone. Hiked 100 highways. Never found a home. Still, all I've got the reason is you see. Once in a while, along the way, love's been good to me. There was a girl in Denver before the summer storm. Oh, her eyes were tender, oh, her arms were warm, and she could smile away the thunder, kiss away the rain. Even though she's gone away, won't hear me complain. I have been a rover. I have walked alone, hiked 100 highways, never found a home. Still in all I'm happy, the reason is you see, once in a while along the way, love's been good to me. There was a girl in Portland before the winter chill. We used to go a-courting along October Hill, and she could laugh away the dark clouds, cry away the snow. Only yesterday, as down the road I go, I've been a rover. I have walked alone, hiked 100 highways, never found a home. In a while, along the way, love's been good to me.
Love hasn't been too good to one Mr. Zoltan Zizzy, that's spelled Z-Z-Y-Z-Z-Y, a gentleman who's been courting a lovely girl named Elizabeth for the past 2 years. Well, this week, just when things seemed to be going fine, she gave him back his ring and called it all off. I still love him, she said later, but I just couldn't face the thought of going through life being called Mrs. Lizzie Zizzy. So much for the frivolous side of the news. Right now, Monitor moves to the Middle East, where there seems to be no time for comedy. Earlier today, we brought you a report on this day, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, being celebrated somberly in Israel. Now here's a report by Mark Slifer, NBC News Beirut, on the attitude of the Arab world as tension increases in the area.
Middle East tensions have moved up another notch this week, mostly in response to the fighting along the Suez Canal. The Egyptian reprisal air attacks, which followed Israel's massive raid down the Gulf of Suez coastline, have earned rave notices from Beirut to Khartoum as the turning point in the Arab-Israeli conflict. There is a troubling familiarity to all of this, but almost none of the Arabs seem to recall that a similar state of militant enthusiasm mixed with a basic lack of preparation, reigned supreme in the Arab East on the eve of the June 1967 war. And again, as in 1967, it is possible to detect even a touch of frivolity in the Arab government's refusal to take seriously the long-range implications of their short-range militancy. As the leading Tunisian political commentator, Besher Ben Yachmed, pointed out this week, neither Egypt nor Jordan, for all their recent talk of inevitable war, have yet to readjust their basically peacetime economies. And Iraq remains far more obsessed with quelling internal unrest than with the Israeli-Arab conflict. The small Lebanese army is as much involved in a standoff confrontation with guerrillas holed up in a Palestinian refugee camp north of Beirut as it is with defending its southern border from Israeli raids. Only the Palestinian guerrillas, whose concept of popular liberation war would be enhanced if Israel suddenly occupied still more Arab territory, can be said to be even theoretically prepared for the worst. Mark Schleifer, NBC News, Beirut.
Enoch Light played it, "You've Made Me So Very Happy." Seems like the kind of statement a Saturday night monitor host might share with his listeners. I'm Jim Lowe. Maybe that's no news, but what's about to follow is. News on the hour. That's when the big hands on the 12 and the big NBC news gathering organization is everywhere.
On Monday morning, Dick woke up. The mailman brought him a letter from grandmother. She said that she was sending him a present in a few days. Every day, Dick looked for the mailman, but the mailman didn't come. He was worried. On Friday, a blue truck stopped at Dick's.
There are young people coming out of our high schools who can barely read. And if you can't read, you can't survive. You can do something about education through the New York Urban Coalition, Box 5100, Grand Central Station. Give jobs, give money, give a damn.
But he knew he was forbidden to open it until Christmas.
This is the place, the Fortune Phone place. Weekdays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. WNBC, Radio 660 and WNBC FM, New York.